Some fathers err. Some fathers are godly. Some fathers are faithful. Some fathers are permissive. Some fathers show favoritism. Now, what kind of father are you? The Bible warns, be sure your sins will find you out. And that statement is true in exact detail. Sin is paid for in the body as one suffers the consequences of sin. Sin is paid for in the conscience as one endures the burning conviction of guilt. Sin is paid for in eternal hell fire when sinners are cast into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But sometimes sin is paid for in the children as they suffer for the failure of their parents to prepare them for life by a proper training in the things of God. Now, there is a case study in the Bible involving a father who showed favoritism among his children. He lived in a time when a man was permitted to marry as many wives as he wanted or could support, and it was natural that a husband would feel more affection for one wife than for another, and therefore love his children by one wife more than his children by another. Now, that created severe problems. I introduce to you a man named Jacob. He was the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. He had the finest religious heritage of any person in his generation. God said of Abraham, he will command his children and his household after them, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Being reared in that influence, one would think Jacob would be an ideal father himself, but not so. He made the mistake of showing partiality among his children and brought great suffering on himself and that special son whom he loved above others. Now let's look at Jacob's account and notice what God teaches us. First, a father is a chosen man. God could hardly honor a man more highly in human terms than to make him the father of children. And think of what that means, to put the development of the temporal and eternal welfare of little children into the hands of a man. Jacob was such a chosen man. God chose him above his twin brother, Esau. God intended that the covenant blessing revealed to Abraham would pass through Jacob and through his descendants, so that all the nations of the earth would be blessed because of him. Jacob was the type of person to take things into his own hands and to make sure that things worked out to his personal advantage. So he tricked his older brother Esau into selling his birthright for one meal, and then he tricked his aged father into giving him the parental blessing which was really due his brother Esau. He had to leave home to keep his brother from killing him. But how could God use a man like that? Why would he be one of the patriarchs of Israel? Because God does not look for a perfect man, or else he would use no man. God did not choose Jacob for what he was, but for what God would make him become. And that's the same way he deals with you and me. A father may show partiality in his family. This is our second principle. Jacob traveled from Palestine to the town of Haran in northern Mesopotamia. And there he met a family and fell in love with one of the girls. He arranged to work for her father for 7 years in exchange for the opportunity to marry her. The marriage was entered only to find he was not married to his beloved Rachel, but to her sister Leah. So he worked for Laban, his father-in-law, another 7 years for Rachel. It was expected that Jacob never loved Leah as much as he loved Rachel. He felt he had been deceived and he would never have married Leah if he had been given a choice, and therefore he showed favoritism between the two wives. And then the children were born. Leah bore children almost immediately. Rachel was long before she conceived a child. But at last a son was born to Rachel, this favorite wife, and he became the favorite son of his father. The father showed more affection to Joseph, Rachel's son. He gave more meaningful gifts to Joseph than to his other sons, and that caused problems, severe problems. The Bible reports Israel, which is another name for Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now you see the problem the father's bringing on his beloved son because of the partiality he shows? People hate the boy. Even his own brothers hate him, whom they're calling daddy's pet. Partiality among the children is a tragic, tragic mistake. A third principle. A father may be deceived by his own children. For the other brothers of Jacob wanted the love and affection of their father. They needed assurance of his acceptance of them as well as his love for Joseph. The only way they knew how to deal with the problem was to get rid of Joseph, their successful rival, for their father's attention. And so when they were away from home, they sold Joseph to a caravan of traders who took him away to Egypt. They took Joseph's coat of many colors, splashed animal blood on it, told their father they'd found it. Now it was assumed by the father that his beloved son Joseph was dead. So he rent his clothes, put sackcloth on himself, mourned for his son for a long time. And when his other children tried to comfort him, he refused to be comforted, saying, "I will go into the grave unto my son mourning." Now look at the increasing sin experienced in Jacob's family because of his partiality to one son. First, there was jealousy in the heart of his other children. Second, there was hatred by many toward the son whom he loved and whom he wanted to protect. Third, there was evil planned and executed upon his beloved son. Fourth, there was deceit in the report of the sons as brought to their father. Fifth, there was great grief for Joseph being sold into slavery, falsely accused, cast into prison, and suffering. The very opposite experiences that the father had wanted for him. And sixth, there was deep grief to the father who thought his special son was dead, and perhaps further sorrow when he discovered years later that his older sons had deceived him. Jacob tried to protect Joseph, but he exposed him instead. He wanted others to love him as he loved him, but they hated him instead. He wanted life to be easy for Joseph, but it was most painful instead. He wanted the best and showed favoritism, but that's exactly what the son missed. Just the opposite was what he received. The fourth principle is a father may be blessed of God in spite of his error. For God took Joseph out of his pampered care under Jacob and put him in the school of hard knocks. He developed in the young man a strength of character which he would never have come to have if he had lived under the pampered care of his doting father. They had to go through the furnace of affliction to purify the life. But Jacob received Joseph back, not as a spoiled son, but as a mature man of God. Oh, please take heed to the rearing of your children or your grandchildren. Hear the warning from these bad examples we have reviewed of some of the fathers mentioned in the Bible. Be encouraged by the good examples of others. Commit your life to rear your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Some fathers err. Some fathers are godly. Some fathers are faithful. Some fathers are permissive. Some fathers show favoritism. Now, what kind of father are you? Heavenly Father, we men want to be the kind of father you are. We want to love enough to correct, discipline enough to train, teach enough to guide, and always develop our children toward full physical and spiritual maturity. Give us your help as we set out to reach those goals. Thank you for making us men the head of our homes. We resolve to be good stewards of that obligation, and we thank you for making our limited efforts effective. In Jesus' name, amen.